You're on the record.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Ada's Wednesday, March 6th board meeting. It's about 10:04. I'd like to call the meeting to order, and I'd like for him to do a roll call for board members.
Ms. Sandy.
Here.
Deputy Commissioner Samarosi.
Here.
Mr. Kitting.
Here.
Ms. Carl.
Here.
Mr. Fogel.
Here.
Commissioner Anderson.
Here.
Mr. Pruth.
Here.
You have a quorum.
Would you continue the roll call with staff and public, please?
Okay. As I point to you, please state your name and organization. We'll start here at the table.
Tom Boutin. Ada.
Curtis there, AEA.
Karsten Rodvik, ADA.
Doug Bloomer, NC Power Systems.
Jerry Judea, Department of Law.
Mark Gardner, ADA Consultant.
Russell Dick, from the total.
Liz Greer, ADA. Sonny Morris, from AccuType.
That's Rob.
Jeff Van Juan, ADA. Pam Tappan, ADA.
Linda Fenn, ADA.
Alan Weissner, ADA.
Bill Phelan, ADA.
Rich Wooten, ADA.
Mike Kathy, ADA.
Una Ellsworth, ADA. Sherry Severson, ADA.
Michelle Pope, ADA.
Chris Anderson, ADA. Brandon Applegate, ADA.
Tim Gallagher, HDR.
You're on the wrong side. You better move.
Do we have any public on the phone? Public on the phone.
Okay. Thank you, friend. Before us, item number four is the agenda. If all the board members had a chance to take a look at that. Does anybody have any objections to the agenda as presented?
Can you get your packet?
That's $100.
I thought it was $1,000.
Yeah, $100. Give it to Sherry so she can buy a snack.
The coffee has to pay for the
Yeah, a little reminder for everybody. No free passes. All right. So before us, we have an agenda, and I take a motion for adoption.
So moved.
Second.
Any objection? Hearing none, the agenda is adopted. Brings us up to item number five, public comments. I will remind folks that are wishing to make a public comment that the limit to 3 minutes. So please state your full name and your affiliation. I will start online first. Is anybody online? Anybody online? Hearing nobody online, anybody in the conference room? And we're not going to let Russell get away with nothing. So, Mr. Dick, would you please come up? give us a little bit of fun. Former board member Russell Dick. I'm serious. Line up. Man.
Uh-huh.
You thought you were just going to sit over there.
Where do I need to sit, Mr. Chairman?
That'd be fine. It's about time you sat at the end of the table.
Right.
So, Russell, we'd like to welcome you. And by the way, as a board member serving with you, again, we appreciate your service to both the ADA and AEA organizations. So, you're here, obviously, visiting and doing some business with your organization, with the ADA folks. Do you mind kind of suggesting what that is?
Well, yeah, I mean, as many of you know, well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's great to be back and to see a lot of familiar faces and obviously some new ones, especially around the table. Good to see an old friend like Curtis here back at the table. So many of you may know we own Icy Strait Point, which is North America's only private cruise ship port down in Hoonah, Alaska. In 2016, we partnered with ADA and North Rim to build our first cruise ship here. It's been absolutely exceptional. The growth has been tremendous. We partnered with Norwegian Cruise Lines late last year to put a deal together to build our second cruise ship here. An amazing opportunity, amazing partnership with them, very strategic. And now we are working with ADA on some additional uplands development, which will be part of phase one. And phase two will be shortly coming after that in another deal with cruise lines. But it's just been absolutely tremendous. We went up 100,000 passengers this last year. We'll go up another 100,000. And I can't talk in detail about 2020, but I will say that the growth is fairly significant again for 2020. So it's just been absolutely amazing. The economic impact in the community has been tremendous. We put 160 people to work last year, 75% local hire in a community of 730 people. Our workforce this year will be about 200. And then in 2020, we expect that to go up to around 240. About $5 million of direct economic impact in the community between employment and spending and contributions and what have you. But it's been absolutely amazing.
Aren't you glad you're not in the oil business and you're in the tourist business?
Yeah.
Or you're not in the forest business, you're in the tourist business.
Well, the forest business helped us get there, so that's good.
Greg, are you allowed to say which cruise lines dock at the port in summer?
Most all of them.
All of them do?
Okay. All the cruise lines that come to Alaska come through Aces Trade Point.
Wow.
And you see some new ones coming. Virgin is coming, maybe coming in a few years. Like we have got Viking coming this year, Cunard's coming this year, all new. The Norwegian Joy, which is a sister ship to the Norwegian Bliss, 4,600, 4,500 passengers is coming. This year, the Ovation of the Seas, Royal Caribbean, and the growth is just absolutely...
Where do you put all these people? What do you have to do there? I mean...
23,000 acres of land, Bernie.
How many do you get?
We've got about 36 tours now.
36 that you yeah. that you guys...
That we
you,
run.
Yeah. Wow.
36 tours,
huge
multiple retail shops, three different restaurants on site.
Mr. Chairman, I believe you should invite the board down to see what's going on. We have no idea what they're doing.
It's phenomenal. It'll blow you. I've seen it one time. I couldn't believe it. I mean, when I looked at it, I just could not believe. I was in Hunan looking at the infrastructure they put in. All first class.
How many can you handle a day? Just one, or can you do more than one a day?
No, we've had 6,000 people on site for one day. So we've had two of the Royal Caribbean ships. And at the same time in a celebrity ship tendering.
The rest of what's the population of Hunan?
734.
Wow.
And how long are they in?
It depends on the the ship and
but no more
the
than
itinerary, but you know, typically 8 to 10 hours.
Yeah.
Cool.
Do they take water on there? Do you
No, we don't. If we use the community's water, there may not be enough left for the community.
Might be opportunity.
But there's a lot of opportunity.
Yeah.
But yeah, we've got probably more cruise lines coming. I mean, Alaska is a high-yielding port for the cruise lines, and I know MSC is looking at coming, which is they're large. I mean, I think they're 46,000 to 5,000 passenger ships. You know, you've got over $60 billion worth of ships that are on order.
Okay. New ships?
In the industry. It's amazing.
Are they building them at Ketchikan?
I understand they need a little boost. One cruise ship would do well for them.
They're stopping in Ketchikan, though, right?
Yeah, great success. You know, we've always appreciated the partnership with Ada. Very easy to work with, and hopefully this next phase will be fairly easy to work through as well.
It depends on coming down and seeing how things work down there. I
have a standing invitation.
Bernie back.
Oh.
Well, Russell, we appreciate you coming by and visiting with us today, and it sounds exciting what's going on down there, and we personally wish you all success.
Thank you.
So,
thank you, Chairman. It's a pleasure. It's great to see everybody, to see the new faces. Thank you.
And as usual, you took longer than 3 minutes like you used to do, but we won't hold you to that.
No, we're wrong.
I'm asking questions.
All right. Anybody else want to make a public comment in the boardroom? Not seeing anybody, I'll go ahead and close the public comment section down. Brings us to item number 6, prior minutes for 3 meetings. I guess it's November 28th, January 9th, and February 7th. Is that correct?
Yeah.
For prior minutes? Some of you folks may not have been here, some of those.
I've read February 7th.
So. All right. So I have no additions or deletions or changes on the meetings. Does anybody have any comments or corrections that they'd like to make? I'll take a motion for accepting the minutes.
Motion to accept the minutes.
Seconded.
Any objection? Prior minister motion is are adopted. Brings us to item number seven, new business executive session. So we have, I guess, confidential negotiations between IGU, Siemens, that ADA is legally obligated to keep confidential. Bullet point number two is confidential financial matters related to the Ketchikan shipyard. And number three is confidential matters related to ADA's budget, the immediate disclosure of which would have an adverse effect on the authority. Those are the three topics for executive session. In order to get into executive session, we'll need a motion and a second.
I move that the board enter into an executive session to discuss the items that you just discussed.
Any objection to that? All right. Tom, do you have an idea how long this will last for our folks here?
Items one and two, we certainly can keep it to less than 15 minutes. Item three might take 30 minutes.
All right. Why don't we say roughly an hour, maybe an hour and 20 minutes for this whole thing? And are we in the Aspen room?
We can leave you in here.
Oh, we'll kick us all out.
Oh.
We'll kick us all out. Everybody else can go to the Aspen room.
Okay.
And stay over there.
Okay.
While the board's in executive session, the phones are on mute.
Do that.
Why are we getting treated so good?
You are back on the record.
Thank you. All right, I'll advise that the board has not taken any formal action as matter discussed while in the executive session. That brings us up to the item B in our agenda. Typically, Tom, this is where I'll read the agenda and hand it over to you to hand this particular item over to you for discussion.
Mm-hmm.
So, B is loan resolution L19-01 Maple Springs Palmer MOB LLC. Tom?
That's a very routine commercial situation, and Chris can just go through it, and no reason why we shouldn't go ahead with it.
That's good. Right. This is L19-01 Maple Springs Palmer MOB LLC. It is a loan participation request from Wells Fargo Bank, a 90-10 split, and ADA's participating portion is $3.78 million. And a gross loan of $4.2 million. We would be doing a 25-year loan on our participating part, and Wells Fargo will be doing a 10-year loan fixed on their percentage interest. For the record, I'll go through the guarantors. There are several, although they are interrelated. Alaska Pediatric Dentistry, LLC, Roger Beck, Erickson Investments, LLC, Wade Erickson, Heather Erickson, Maple Springs of Palmer SNF Holdings LLC, and Nicholas Larson. The purpose of the proceeds is to pay off construction financing that is now with Wells Fargo for a new medical office building located in Palmer. It's on the Palmer Longville Highway, but on the Palmer side of the highway. Job creation, there will be 40 construction jobs and 25 new permanent jobs in regards to this request. And the borrowing entity is managed by Dr. Wade Erickson, who's an experienced commercial real estate owner and successful business person in the area. The collateral, we would be taking a first deed of trust on subject property. It was appraised by Brian Bethard, again, a commercial real estate appraiser who is well known in the area. He appraised the property at $5.6 million. That gives us a 75% loan to value and a debt service coverage of 1.49 to 1, which is above our minimum of 1.25 to 1. We do have a related debt with Wade and Heather Erickson. We have three other credits with them. And so with that related debt plus this loan, if approved, that combined balance total would be $15,514,016. The financial information is sent to you under separate cover. There's no known environmental issues on this property. In regards to the market, as you probably know, the medical field is growing, and certainly the valley is growing. There's a demand for medical office space that continues to be positive in this area, and it's characterized by having a limited amount of quality medical office space. So new medical office space is very often owner-occupied because it can support higher construction costs. The strengths that we saw in this credit, again, the debt service coverage of 1.49 to 1 is a good coverage. The collateral is owner-occupied. It has a stable cash flow projected with leases on 12-year term, which I'm assuming would be extended essentially owner-occupant. The guarantors provide outside financial credit to the loan, and they do have profitable business interests. The weaknesses, we didn't really see any other than, you know, a normal real estate cycle would incur. And in regards to portfolio diversification, these are year-end numbers, calendar year-end numbers. Ada had 21.3% of its total statewide portfolio in office-type projects. And with this credit, that would increase to 22%. And for participated loans within the Matsu region, we were at 18.4%, and that would increase to 20.3%. We have independently underwritten this. The staff does recommend its approval. There are a couple of items that we would recommend and would take care of before closing, and that is that Ada would approve the final recorded plat, and that the appraiser would certify that the costs are completed for plans and specs, and that the value would be at least $5.6 million. So I think this is a good project, and it's in a good location, and your borrowers certainly are financially healthy. So with that, I would open it for questions.
Thank you, Chris. Question from the board? I've got a couple, but I'll wait just a minute. When is construction supposed to be done, Chris?
It's a little over 50% done right now, and they'll move in seconds, and I believe that the earliest will be July. We haven't gone out and looked at it yet. I know you'd like us to do inspections,
but
it's because it's under construction, and we do anticipate going out when it's completed and before we fund it.
Well, for the board's benefit, the new board members, could you explain when you, as a long-term financer, typically bring something to the board for commitment to a developer or someone that's building something, a new facility?
Sure. Well, in regards to the process, as you may know, the lenders, the bank, looks at these deals before we do. They deal with the borrower, and they put it together and underwrite it and go through their loan approval process before it comes to Ada. So when it comes to us, we independently underwrite the transaction. And any loan that is over $3 million also comes to the board. If there is related debt, in other words, you could have a loan that's lower than $3 million, but if there's related debt, if that accumulated total is in excess of $5 million, then it also comes to the board. Those are the two trigger marks for the transaction coming to the board.
So do you typically see, the reason why I asked where it was in construction, so they've got a construction loan, and they have, but they don't have long-term financing in place yet. So do you do a preliminary subject to board approval? What does the developer, how does he know that he's got a long-term commitment?
Once it goes to the board and is approved, we issue a commitment letter.
No. So he's already started the project. He's 50%
right.
Into it.
Yeah.
And he has no long-term financing.
Yeah, with Wells Fargo, they have the ability to book this.
Right. So that's the question. Do they have the ability? Is that insinuating that they have a construction loan that if for some reason Ada, and I'm kind of walking around here, you know, false and Ada lent all this money and didn't have any money left to lend.
Yeah.
And we have a commitment out there, or do we commit? How does that work? Does the existing financial institutions that do the construction loan, is that a backstop for the long-term financing, at least on a temporary basis?
Yeah, certainly it is. The lender, it's really in the lender's court as to whether they want to lock in their long-term financing before the construction is even started. You know, there's their construction loan subject to long-term. If they don't require that, in other words, if they do have the ability to book, they'll just do the construction loan, and then they will put the long-term loan in place sometime over the course of construction. So with a bank the size of Wells Fargo versus, you know, a smaller bank like First Bank in Southeast, I mean, they would have the ability to easily book this if they chose to. I think the borrower had experience with us, liked us, liked our rating terms, and we have other credit with them, and so they wanted to go Ada.
Okay. For the new board members, I want to kind of get that out there, but the process. So when we typically see things, how we see it, when we see it, you know, this is 50 cent bill, and this is we're committing to the long term financing.
Right.
Do we have any kind of guidelines on we have X amount of our loans are in a certain area or a certain industry or anything like that?
We do. Mm-hmm. Well, guidelines. I mean, we track that, and both by industry and by location. I don't think there's a formal policy in place on limiting that. I will tell you that, you know, several years ago, you know, hotel activity was very active. And Ada was getting the majority of those loans, not just in Anchorage, but in the state. And so we had we're starting to get a fairly high concentration of hotels. So we actually contracted a survey to be done. Mark isn't here. I think Mark did the survey. For other economic development companies in the United States. And, you know, in the lending industry, I was in lending for a long time. I mean, when you start getting up to a quarter of your portfolio in an industry, you start to get a little nervous about your diversification. But their input coming back was because you're an economic development company, they didn't start, you know, wanting to limit anything to about 40%, which is pretty high.
Yeah.
But it's reactive to the market, and we have a different role, you know, than your traditional commercial bank.
So do we get reports on our diversification of our loan portfolio?
There's a pie chart.
Is there?
Okay. Yeah,
there's
a pie chart.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Great.
Just for my information, Chris, on loans like this, does the lender, are they trying to bring Ada in, or is Wells Fargo trying to bring us in? Who kind of initiates the request to us?
Either or. Sometimes it's the lender, and sometimes if they're dealing with a borrower who is, you know, astute in the business, they know of Ada's existence, and they will go to see their banker, but they want the Ada loan.
So generally, do we offer slightly better terms than the bank? Is that why they would come to us?
We have more patient money because commercial banks, as a rule, they make their money on interest rate or interest income, and so fees and interest income, and so they turn their money more quickly. They have shorter term loans as a rule. We have more patient money, and we can lock in at 25 years, even though they're usually not on the books for 25 years.
And loan to value.
And loan to value. Well, loan to value is actually quite similar with loans, with lenders, in the commercial arena.
So basically, they're looking to us because we can do 25 years. Wells Fargo probably wouldn't, so that's what would be attractive to this one. Is that
the term and the risk, I would say, yes. And from the borrower's perspective, of course, they want to be able to anticipate their debt service over time.
A big commercial bank may give you a 20-year amortization, but a call after 5 years,
right.
Or 10
right.
years.
Okay. Cool. Thank you.
Different loan has to do with the flavor of the month here, or I should say the quarter in Alaska and Anchorage. So we committed to a long-term loan for a hotel that burned down.
Yes.
Could you give the board an update on that?
I don't know that the bank really has an update on that. They're still working on it with the borrower. We have an outstanding commitment that is good until 12/30 of this year. And so, you know, we're going to keep that in place. I mean, we have heard from them, but I don't think they really know at this point that first of all, they are planning on rebuilding. We wondered about that at first, but they are planning on rebuilding. And they said it could be as short as 5 months. And so I haven't tried to change the commitment. I know. I think that's a terrible.
Very aggressive.
Very aggressive, very optimistic. But, you know.
So if it goes past 12:30, does that require to come back to the board?
Yeah. They can extend it. It gets a little expensive because it's an eighth of a percent per month every 30 days for an extension. Or they could opt to, you know, if the markets change, I mean, they could opt to pull it and come back in when you're closer to being completed.
All right. Thank you, Chris.
You're
all right. So any further questions, Chris? I'll entertain a motion for L119-01.
I'll make a motion that we approve the motion.
Second.
All right. Any discussion on the loan resolution, L19-01?
I think it's a good loan, and it. I'd just like to ask, how many loans have you gotten turned down that you've brought to the board in your tenure?
That we've brought to the board?
That you brought to the board.
That the board has turned down.
Yeah, how many?
None.
I rest my case.
We can start a new press here, right?
But there are some that get turned down before they get.
Well, that's cool. That's your job, though.
Exactly.
That's right.
Further discussion. Corinne, would you pull the board?
Ms. Sandy.
Yes.
Deputy Commissioner Samarowski.
Yes.
Mr. Kenning.
Yes.
Mr. Carl.
Yes.
Mr. Vogel.
Yes.
Commissioner Anderson.
Yes.
Mr. Bruce.
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Up next is item number C, resolution number G19-06, relating to the employment of the authority of the Executive Director of the Alaska Energy Authority.
Really your deal, Mr. Chairman, and it's pretty straightforward.
It's my deal. So
I thought we already hired him.
We did. But apparently what has to happen is not only does the AEA have to approve a resolution, and so does Ada, because he's really an Ada employee.
Uh-huh.
Right. So I assume that's where's Linda? Is she here?
I'm right here.
Is that correct? Isn't it? Is there anything other than that the board needs to know about? The resolution?
No. What we've done in the past, since all employees are Ada employees, then the Ada board has to first appoint and then the Ada board for the council.
Okay. So, are there questions? No? All right, I'll entertain a motion to put on the floor.
Motion to approve.
Second.
And for the record, that's a resolution G19-006. Further discussion? If not, can we pull the board?
Ms. Sandy?
Yes.
Deputy Commissioner Samarowski?
Yes.
Mr. Kenning?
Yes.
Mr. Carl?
Yes.
Mr. Fogel?
Yes.
Ms. Anderson?
Yes.
Mr. Pruth?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you.
Getting
going. Okay, item number D, resolution G19-07, earthquake funds for damage repairs.
Yeah, we've got a couple of people here to talk about this, and of course we touched on it yesterday, but not everybody was here. But and if people have the time, we can go through the building too. But maybe realistically, we don't have that time. But this is the second time the board has talked about the earthquake repairs, and this is an update with the full cost in here, and now that it's much better known, and we've had contractors in here constantly, 7 days a week. So
maybe if you have someone here to give us a brief description of what the problem is.
Yeah. Why don't you come ahead, please, and
didn't we make a motion at the last board meeting for this approval?
For
$100,000.
This is increasing it to $400,000.
This is a full ride here.
Thank you.
Well, we think, right?
No, I just, everything we can see. Go ahead.
Yeah, the $100,000 was for
the record.
Rich Fulton, project manager, Ada. The $100,000 was for the life and safety repairs, the west wall and the southern stairwell, and those repairs have been completed. This additional $400,000 includes all superficial repairs to the building, cracking of the brick, support for the mechanical units in the penthouse, and very other cracking that has occurred on the drywall throughout the building. It also includes an additional $100,000 for the repairs in the parking lot. It's not a complete repair in the parking lot, but it's for patch repairs. You notice in the entrance in the back parking lot, it's, you know, heaved, either through frost heaving or an earthquake. Accelerated that damage, so that would repair the most critical areas in the parking lot. So that's what this funding would cover.
And then the city has some work scheduled, too, that will precede some of our parking lot work.
That's correct.
Yeah. Procurement side, how do you go about executing people to come in and do the work?
So we have two options. We can put it out to bid, but we also have PTP, our building management firm, that can do all of the, or I'd say most of the building repairs. The parking lot we most likely put out to bid.
Okay. So in the building repairs is $300,000, another $300,000?
That's correct.
So it's a total of $400,000 in repairs to the building as a result of the earthquake?
Yep, and that's internal and external.
What's the value of the building?
I want to say, do we have those?
I think it's around, I want to say it's around $2
million. Okay.
Wow.
That's good.
Do we have any insurance that covers any of this?
Oh, risk management insures the building. The state self-insured, and so we'll file a claim with them for the building. They don't cover the parking lot, though.
So we'll get some of this money back?
We should. I don't know if we'll get all of it, but we're expecting to get at least some.
Wow, we can pay it back.
They're going to pay us the tax credits.
we're getting tax credits, yeah. These tax credits are a hell of a deal. Now they just keep spinning around.
Well, we didn't get Ketchikan into that deal, so I guess.
We only get the
tourists. Bonds.
Why can't we turn that shipyard into a tourist attraction and all the tourists go there? I mean, look at what they're doing there in Alaska.
So the when do you anticipate the building repairs other than the parking lot to be completed?
We haven't started, but we could put it. We already have the construction ready documents. They could be put out the bid in a week or so, or we can give them to PTP in the next week or so to go through their contractors.
So $300,000 worth of additional building repairs on a force account basis. Is that basically what an option you guys have?
That's correct.
And from your experience, do you think that's the proper way to do it, or do you think you should go to a actual get quotes from other vendors?
I think there is a cost savings potentially going through PTP. A lot of their contractors are familiar with their building. They're mechanical contractors. Typically, you know, my background's procurement. I would always like to see stuff go on the street. But in this case, since the life and safety has already been taken care of, all of this is, you know, superficial, drywall, small repairs.
So at the end of the day, you have to go through with the building folks in order to get the work done. You can't execute the work directly to building different building contractors. Is that what you're saying? And is that a contractual requirement, or can you go out on the street?
We can go on the street.
Without going through our building maintenance people.
That's correct.
I don't know where it tilts over to be more efficient, more cost effective to go out on the street directly versus going through the building. My opinion is I'll let you guys decide that and be good stewards of our dollars if this resolution passes.
Yeah.
Sure.
I'm Michelle Pope.
Could you speak up a little, Michelle?
Yes.
Could you stand up here where we can get you on the microphone?
Anything else? Anything else, Bert?
Yeah. I'm sorry, could you say your name again?
Michelle Holm.
Okay.
And
I'm the procurement officer, the chief procurement officer, interim procurement officer right now. And so with PTP doing the work, they also do solicit for work over a certain dollar amount. So it's not like it would just go to anybody. But there are portions of it. I have pictures that are part of the RIM report that we have from the engineering firm of the different types of things that can be done. And so some of the stuff that they have staff already, that they've already procured through a process. So they go out for us. So PTP, through our building management contract, they go out and get contractors for our building. So the janitorial services, general maintenance, general upkeep of the building. And so some of the superficial, such as just painting and repairing of a couple cracks, we may have them do through that particular contract because it's just a superficial thing, or replacing some of the ceiling tiles versus trying to go out to bid for that project. Where if we have, there is some brick that needs to be repaired and other types of things, other cracks that are going to probably be a bigger process and more of a specialty contract. And those would be bid either by the procurement department or depending on the project size, and that contract for PTP does allow us to use their contract to procure those types of, that type of work as well. And they would do the solicitation, and then they would be the project manager, in essence, freeing up our people, so I don't have, other than Rich, I don't have a project manager in the procurement department. So. Go ahead.
What's their margin? What are they marking up? They go bring a third party in. They do the project management. What's their margin?
So small projects, so projects under $25,000, it's part of their monthly fee. Projects over $25,000, there's a sliding scale, and I don't know that.
That's $400,000.
Well, there's different components of it, so I don't know that we would put all of it. Like I said, there's parts of it that procurement would put out. For instance, the parking lot work, we would probably bid ourselves and put out that work, which is a good majority of it. The brick repairs may be another large portion of that work. So it would be, like I said, the smaller pieces that we may not even have a markup if PTP did it.
20% of the value of the building, that's the concerning part, really. Tom?
Yeah, I'd be lying to you if I told you I spent much time on this, truly. And, you know, I think it was President's Day at 8:03 a.m. here. We had a heck of a shade. And so is there anything that can be done, and is there anything being done that would better prepare us for future shakes? Because it was quite the shake, President's Day, by gosh, it got my attention.
We are doing some life safety things, so with some of the stuff that happened was furniture, bookshelves, and credenzas fell. We did have one employee that was kind of trapped underneath the credenza because of the shake. So we've now had all of those types of things that are over a certain height. They've all been fastened to the walls.
Yeah,
even though that was fastened to the table appropriately, the shake was large enough that it, it did not hold it. So we are doing those types of things to prepare. There's not a whole lot more that we can prepare for, I mean, other than just life safety types of things.
Steel desk you can get under, so when the ceiling falls in, you're underneath a nice steel desk.
Yeah, there you go. All right, well, thank you very much. Appreciate the update. Okay, so I'll look for a motion to put 19-07 on the table for consideration.
I make a motion we approve resolution number G19-06.
Second.
Second.
Oh, second.
Okay. Any further discussion? Grant, would you pull the board?
Ms. Sandy.
Yes.
Deputy Commissioner Samarowski.
Yes.
Mr. Kedig.
Yes.
Mr. Carl.
Yes.
Mr. Vogel.
Yes.
Commissioner Anderson.
Yes.
Mr. Bruce.
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. So, next up is, excuse me, item number E, resolution G19-08. I wouldn't even pretend to pronounce it, but it's a corporation, cost reimbursement agreement. So I'm going to err on caution here for a potential conflict because I do have a little economic interest in HUNA.
And with that, we just had a little conversation yesterday. I'd rather err on caution, and I'm going to recuse myself from discussion on this, and I'm going to hand this over to Julie Anderson to put the discussion and talk about it.
Okay.
Okay.
So, Alan?
Alan Weissner, Chief Investment Officer with ADA. We heard in public comment from Ms. Russell Dick, who's the President and CEO of Unitota Corporation, who was highlighting the application that we've received for an additional financing in Stage 2 of their development at IC Strait Point. We are looking to put in place a cost reimbursement agreement with the borrower, Zuna Kawuani Corporation, to do our due diligence, ultimately, in trying to structure a facility and working with Unitota Corporation for that facility.
Any questions about, want to talk about what the details of the deal are? Yeah, okay. That's what I was trying to get.
Okay.
So this would be a question for you, Tom. The details of the reimbursement agreement.
I guess they're the same reimbursement agreement we used with Icy Strait Point in the past. I would expect a financing to take this out within the next 5 or 6 years. I don't think we'd go to term.
May I comment?
Yeah. Ms. Anderson, what we're addressing with the cost reimbursement agreement is establishing a cap, which would be in place of $150,000, to do the due diligence, which is no obligation on ADA's side to complete the financing. It's purely to engage external consultants as is necessary in reviewing the information and structuring a facility with Unitona Corporation. We would be required, if we came to a structure with them, to present that loan to the board, and it's at the board's pure discretion how we go forward. Our original financing, after the fact, ADA found an SBA through Department of Agriculture, I believe it was, guarantee for the entire loan. I've asked, and I don't believe that we think that'll be the case this next time around.
There's a BIA guarantee.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what's the time frame for getting this analysis done?
The request by Unitona Corporation is to have something in place by June, latest June. So it's an immediate need to do the due diligence and engage external counsel.
So basically, they're agreeing to reimburse us.
Up to $150,000.
We have the cap that's established is $150,000, and any expenditure that we would have that's over it is subject to their prior approval. So we would not be incurring any expenditures over that amount without having that in writing from them.
And that includes staff time?
It explicitly does not include staff.
Oh, it's not included.
It's purely external.
Oh, okay. Any discussion on this?
How much staff time do you think this is going to take?
That we haven't budgeted at this point. It depends upon, we have a meeting that's coming up actually tomorrow with the group, and we'll be able to determine at that point in time the sources, uses of funds, and also the budget that's attached with it. So I'm not able to answer that question directly right now.
Will you get your staff time reimbursed sometime during this process?
No, that's not envisioned that staff time would be reimbursed.
Why is that?
Can I answer that?
Yeah.
Well, this has to do with the philosophy behind it. So basically, you get the loan and you make your money on the interest. So it's no different than the bank doing its due diligence up front to do a loan. The officers, the credit people, they do the background checks and all that kind of stuff, and they put the loan in front of you with fees and interest rates and a term. That's the same thing that ADA folks are doing. So the investigation part, to find out what avenue the best go on it for a customer, is being reimbursed. And this is not anything new. That ADA does it all the time.
Thank you.
Sometimes even on bigger projects,
ADA, actually, that we have a fund and typically a budget on an annual basis that we contribute dollars to special resource development projects that are long lead and take a lot of time and money. Is that correct, Alan?
That's absolutely correct.
Any further discussion? Need a motion?
Mm-hmm. I move we approve resolution G19-08.
Second.
Okay. You call the roll. Okay. Ms. Sandy?
Yes.
Deputy Commissioner Samorowski?
Yes.
Mr. Kedig?
Yes.
Mr. Carl?
Yes.
Mr. Fogle?
Yes.
Mr. Anderson?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you for your help. Thank you, Ellen. Are you up for item F2, Ketchikan Shipyard? So next is Ketchikan Shipyard, Alaska Ship Home, reporting for improvements, program overview, and a presentation by Ellen.
Mr. Chairman, following the process that's been put in place with ADA staff on programs that we are undertaking, this is a information, or this presentation is for information purposes and for feedback direction from the board as we go forward in doing our due diligence and structuring and or getting to a final structure for the program. So we are introducing this to the board and for information purposes. We have styled this as the Alaska Ship Home Porting and Improvement Program. The intent of this is to establish additional forms of competitive advantage for Alaska shipyards. It is specifically, this presentation specifically related to and involves the Ketchikan Shipyard by purpose of our statutes at this point in time under 4488-172. We are only able to apply this program to the Ketchikan Shipyard because it's an existing asset under that program. It is intended to ultimately be structured for all shipyards to the extent that they qualify under our statutes. Again, the purpose on this is to maintain Alaska's commercial industrial fleet in Alaska, by Alaska. The primary economic development drivers in this case is retention of the skilled workforce at Ketchikan. Again, to the extent that another shipyard applies under our statutes, that would be the same justification for the workforce. Retention of the skilled workforce in Hampton, the competitive position of Alaska's shipyards relative to its regional competitors, and reducing the cost for Alaska's commercial fleet, ultimately in reducing transit costs to Puget Sound and having competitive financing that's available in Alaska for that repair work.
Alan, I was just going to make a suggestion on the next time we do a slide presentation. We also have the slides in our packet.
So noted.
Okay.
It's established as a revolving fund.
We can bring it home later and talk, and review it when something comes out. So we can't review these bullet points if we don't have them, at a future date. That's the reason.
Okay.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I was just going to suggest to Sherry that maybe before we leave today, she runs copies of these, gives it to the board members so we could, if we want to have them.
In the board packet?
It was attached with the memorandum, but it's not in the board packet, no.
Okay. I thought it was, but I'm going to go back to that.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, apologies. That was
no worries. It's not just if I can see it from here, everybody can see it. So I just want to have the board can take it home with them. They want to bring it home and have something referred back to as Ketchikan Shipyard comes up in future discussion.
Absolutely. The intent of the program is to establish $10 million out of our revolving fund to be made available under its own revolving fund for this facility that would be available for 3 years. Individual loans would be issued under that revolving fund, and as they're paid back, the balances in the revolving fund would be available for new advances under the facility as long as it is within its maturity date. The individual loans underneath it are targeting repair and conversion work at Alaska shipyards that would be between $150,000 to $1.5 million. These are individual term notes. structured as 6 month to a maximum of 24 months, depending upon the type of work that's involved. Repayment is structured and targeted to work with the cyclicality and seasonality of Alaska's marine sector. So work involved on the cruise ship industry with freight and barge industry, as well as the commercial fishing industry. Interest rates that we would tie to based upon our unique position is ADA being able to issue fixed rate debt. We would target that based on a base rate within our statutory requirements of U.S. Treasury at the 6 month to 24 month period, plus a risk margin that's appropriate for the borrower, which is the vessel owner in this case. What we're highlighting is that the minimum allowable return or interest rate on this will be set at 5%. Again, using the Ketchikan Shipyard as the example, because again, it's the only shipyard that qualifies currently under our statutes for this. This is the structure or the facility structure for the AK Ship Revolving Fund. Through the issuing of the term note directly to the vessel owner itself, they would then enter into the ship repair contract, which in this case, the operator of Ketchikan Shipyard, which is Bigger Alaska. We would be purchasing the final invoice under that ship repair contract. We're not doing progress payments as proposed. We're not doing any type of change orders. We're not doing any type of adjustments under that. We are only looking to finance a final invoice under that contract that has been accepted and agreed between Bigger Alaska and the vessel owner as borrower.
That was my next question. So,
and then ultimately, you have a guarantor that would be required because the vessel owner may be under a special purpose corporation or some type of subsidiary entity, but we would be looking at the parent corporate entity to guarantee the facility. The underwriting criteria, what we're targeting is the credit quality of the vessel owner as the borrower. So we would be looking at requiring 3 years historical financial statements of the borrower and the guarantor. We would be making sure that there's a debt service coverage in the borrower and guarantor's cash flow versus the total debt obligations that borrower has. We would establish a maximum loan to value for the vessel, inclusive of this short-term debt, which would then also include the first preferred ship mortgage, which is the traditional financing for these vessels, at a maximum 85% loan-to-value to ensure that there's coverage within the value of the underlying vessel itself. We're looking at the borrower, the vessel owner, and guarantor having a minimum 10% tangible balance sheet equity. And of course, the requirement in this is that the ship repair contract is being done in Alaska, that it does include potential work for subcontracting, but not external to Alaska. It could be financing purely subcontract work from another shipyard that is being done in Alaska. So we're trying to broaden and ensure that it includes all types of work that could be done specifically in Alaska.
How many more of these slides do you have?
We have one more after this.
So a question. So you talked about making sure that both Bigger and the borrower sign off on the invoice.
Yes.
Is there an implicit agreement that any problem with warranty work or problems coming back that doesn't affect the loan?
Yes. And on top of that, we're requiring that a surety bond is put in place with that.
Okay. They go out 100 miles, have a problem.
Exactly.
Now they're in loggerheads, and we get thrown in the middle.
Exactly, because the critical issue being the cyclicality and seasonality of the work that the vessel is doing.
Yeah, they lose the whole season. That's problematic.
So okay. We're looking to have that supported by a surety bond.
Okay.
Please. In the process that we see at this stage, and again, we're always looking for feedback from the board specifically on this point. The process we would see is that an application would be put in place by the potential vessel owner for this facility. We would review that application internally and potentially externally through a reimbursable service agreement with DCCED and personnel there. We would evaluate that facility. Then, based upon an internal staff approval for that application, we would then present that to the board for board's approval of that specific application. As it currently stands right now, that would include a $150,000 loan. So it's at the discretion of the board to establish what limits they want to see at this point, if they're comfortable with the program. We would then, based upon the approvals in place and the process set, we would issue a commitment letter to the vessel owner, and the vessel owner would then enter into the ship repair contract with confidence that, per the terms being qualified, they would ultimately have financing at the end of the repair work, which is between 6 to 8 weeks time period, ultimately, for this work to be done in most cases. We would wait for the end of the work to be done, and in the case of, again, with Vigor Alaska as the example, as the qualifying shipyard under the facility, we would be paying Vigor Alaska directly, and the obligation for repayment comes from the vessel owner. The secondary support that we are looking at, in addition to the primary support being the credit quality of the vessel owner in the first place, is the establishment under Admiralty law of the maritime lien, which the shipyard will be assigning to us. And under the statutes, under Admiralty law, which is quoted exactly here, it is stating that any party that is doing improvements where necessary, which is defined to include repairs, supplies, towage, use dry dock, that qualifies them to have a maritime lien on the specific vessel. And that is the end of the presentation.
So is there any provisions for a vessel that has an emergency repair need to be able to go in to this Ketchikan shipyard and say, hey, I need help, and then retroactively apply for a loan through this process?
It's interesting. They could certainly apply for it afterwards. They would be undertaking the initial repair work under their own financial support at that point in time without a commitment letter from us. We would then be looking at financing that at the later stage once it's been finally done.
Greg?
So I heard you mention like 5% minimum return. Could you elaborate a little bit more on how we set the rates on any of these loans we might make in the future?
We have, by regulation, under Section 172, so anything under the Economic Development Fund program, a requirement of U.S. Treasuries, whatever that term may be, plus 250 basis points.
As a minimum, or we have to do it at that rate?
That is the minimum. We are open to and have the ability to charge a higher rate based upon the risk, the credit risk that we're undertaking in the case of a loan structure or an investment structure.
And Treasury is what today?
Treasury is about 2.5.
So it's roughly 5% right now.
Yes.
We pick the Treasury that has a term corresponding to the term of the loan. Is that how we
Yes.
do it?
If it's a 6-month request, so a very short term request in this case, we would use a 6-month Treasury plus an agreed risk margin on that place and establish a fixed rate of return on the loan.
And do you have an estimate for how much, like, a commercial bank would charge to do a repair loan like this if they were to make such a loan?
Well, what we have is, to answer that directly, no, we don't have specific information and nor have requested that information from the banks that we have talked to in the process of putting this program together. What we have is available information from potential users of this facility that have highlighted that the terms that have been offered to them have been uneconomic in the case and are competitive versus alternatives that they have, which places that above 8%.
Okay. So a commercial bank would charge more than 8% were they to make these types of loans?
Based on some very, very limited indications from potential users.
And comparison to commercial banks, it'd be nice to know if their loan to value was 85% or 70% or 75%.
The reason behind the 85%, to give you why we have targeted that, is because with the long-term financing that's in place with the first preferred ship mortgage, where it's a 10 to 15 year type facility for the initial build-out or financing of the vessel itself. That is usually capped at a 75% loan-to-value. So for the cases of this being short-term repair work, we need to provide an allowance that's above that potential, that maximum of 75.
So right. What I was asking is there a comparison to, they said it wasn't economical going through the commercial banks, and you're coming up trying to come up with a model for them. Do the banks have a loan-to-value that allows them to go to 85% on a second?
What my information is that on the second that there is no established loan-to-value. They're principally looking at the first preferred ship mortgage at a maximum 75% loan-to-value.
Okay.
Right. Do we know what, I assume, because you're saying Puget Sound area shipyards do this sort of work, do we know what kind of interest rate they charge?
Yes, we do. We have indication from potential users of it of what they have been issuing that, and that's based on prime plus margins that are 200 up to 500 basis points.
So prime now is how much?
Prime is 5.5%.
So basically it's at 8%+.
Yes,
it is. Different.
Yeah. Good question. All right. Any further questions to Alan? Alan, go ahead.
1 minute. So what we're being requested to do is establish a new revolving loan fund to fund this program. Is
that's how the program is currently envisioned. That's what we're working on establishing, yes.
There's no board action.
Oh, okay.
This is just a FYI. They're working on it and expect us to maybe see it in the future.
So then one follow-up question, if we could on the next presentation, is what is the expected demand? So I was looking through this memo talking about, you know, what the ships are, all the different vessels that are out there that could potentially use this.
Yes.
And then what is the capacity of Vigor's shipyard right now? So how much demand would you expect to see an increased activity in the shipyard because of this program?
Indications is that the program would be fully utilized.
So is that a couple of vessels a month? I haven't been to the Ketchikan shipyard, so I'm curious how big it is.
Depending upon the repair work that's being requested, there's a cycle of maintenance that the ship and vessel owners have. So there's 2 years up to 3 years, possibly up to 5 years. So in some years it's higher, which requires more dry dock. Which is a higher repair expenditure. So it's going to fluctuate. So the number of ships that are coming through will depend upon that and where they are in that maintenance cycle. What we have looked at and shared information with Brenda in our estimations of capacity utilization of our revolving funds for these types of investments is we would have up to 14 transactions live in the most busy year. So it's each one of those transactions is tied to a specific vessel. So we would be looking at potentially 14 vessels in a fiscal year coming through the shipyard just from this program.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Alan. Appreciate the update.
Thanks, Alan.
So with the board's indulgence, I'm going to take a quick second here. Sherry gave me a little award here to present to a former board member who is back. And he is back now. His name is Russell. He's over there. and I'm not going to make him talk, but as a former board member, the staff organization wanted a little award with him. And since he's here, we'd like to present it to him. So come on over.
Something good.
Well,
it's not,
it's not
alone.
It's not alone.
It's not alone. It's not alone.
Be cash. Thank you.
Thank you, Dad. I appreciate it.
And Russell is a former AA chair and AA vice chair, and I thought we worked pretty good together.
We did.
Yeah,
great time.
That was good for him.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I'm pretty.
Thank you.
Well, hope you're not wanted anywhere. That's going to be up in the post office.
Okay, so we'll continue with the agenda. Back to item number resolution G19-09, naming the Ketchikan Shipyard Assembly Hall. Tom?
Well,
I know Doug Ward, but I think probably everybody here does. He is associated with everything economic in Ketchikan, but especially with the shipyard. And I think longer term board members have more background as far as his association with the shipyard than I do. So I won't ad lib or anything, but I think the whole community and certainly the administration is very supportive of naming this hall after Mr. Doug Ward.
Julie, you got anything to add to that?
I'm in support of that. I think Doug has done a tremendous amount of advocacy for the workforce development and, of course, for the shipyard and for our community. So I had the opportunity to attend his retirement gathering, and I know he was very much moved by the announcement and appreciates that. And the administration, both for the city and borough, as well as our federal delegation and Governor Dunleavy also sent a letter. So very much
a support of
that.
So, provided this resolution passes, is there a certificate or something we send to Mr. Ward? Is there a plaque put on it? Is there something that from the ADA organization board that we can get a certificate or something congratulating him and thanking him for his steadfast leadership and whatnot in that?
The resolution does provide for a sign, but we certainly... this would be the time to decide for any additional commemoration and whatever the board wanted to do. I'm sure we could do it.
Well, it would be nice to put. We had something in frame to have it as home or whatnot. I mean, I don't know, Sherry. Do we have any of those things?
We have done that before, yes.
Okay. Does that need to be added to this resolution, or can we just?
It's probably something that
we can just do. Cost. Okay. All right. Well, unless there's objection from the board, I would suggest that that the staff research that and put something together that Mr. Ward can, you know, put in a frame and show our appreciation. All right. Any further discussion before? So I'll look for a motion, and I'm going to ask Julie if she wants to put the motion on the table.
I would be honored to move that we approve resolution number G19-09.
Thank you. Further discussion? Brandon, would you pull the board?
Ms. Sandy?
Yes.
Deputy Commissioner Samarowski?
Yes.
Ms. Ketting?
Yes.
Mr. Carl?
Yes.
Mr. Bogle?
Yes.
Commissioner Anderson?
Yes.
Mr. Cruz?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you.
Could you do a marble sculpture?
Yeah.
Kind of like that whale for $12 million, did you know?
Does that fit within the...
Yeah. Yeah, I think Jim got in trouble on that one and lost the whole lawsuit.
Marble sculpture.
Yeah. Okay, that brings us up to... Item number 8, director's comments. And Tom, I'll let you, if there's anything particular in this thing you want to expand upon, but you can go through it real quick if you don't mind.
Well, we certainly got, you know, charts, graphics here on that we can go through. More likely, it's stuff to go through individually.
That's typically what we do.
Yeah, nothing.
Advise the board that can research it.
Yeah.
Any questions, either of you.
Yeah, not as I've gone through it, nothing jumps out. It almost jumps out that nothing jumps out. That is, we don't have a lot of problem loans, delinquencies, insufficiencies. So we're in the conservative end of the risk spectrum, I think anybody could surmise. And the geographic
concentration, you know, it surprises me how much we have in Southeast, given that only 70,000 people live in Southeast. And certainly prospective developments are, Southeast is also well represented. And we have people here who could answer any specific questions. But I know, too, that the afternoon is already underway.
Well, I'll make the note that our next board meeting is Wednesday, April 17th. Just for everybody.
Did I see we have some the day before?
Yes. Work session, I think.
Strategic planning on the 16th.
Yeah. Thank you, Tom. That brings us to board comments.
Well, first of all, I'd like to welcome Tom. I think he's a breath of fresh air, good addition, and we're looking for miracles. Just miracles. If you want to walk on water, come to Fairbanks. It's frozen. I will give you that suggestion. But welcome, and I thank the staff, as always. I really do believe we have an amazing staff. You guys do a good job. Everything's lined out. Except we didn't have our catch can. But other than that, everything is perfect. But Dana took care of that. So thank you to the staff, and again, Tom, welcome.
I'll just say thanks for that. But also, you know, something I think I told the people on the third floor, you know, back when we did the Red Dog financing, three of us, Bert Wagner had the job I have now, and Ron Lear was had the job at AHFC, and I had the job that Devin Mitchell has now, and we locked ourselves in a room for 3 days, and we emerged with the Red Dog financing documents, and, you know, Ada now has capabilities that so far exceed what those three guys had way back then, and they all had hair and were looking much younger. You know, the Ada people today wouldn't have let those guys in the room to help structure that Red Dog thing. Maybe it's a miracle that the debt, you know, has been repaid to the extent it was. Of course, it was later taken out, you know, with a different financing. Anyway, we really do have capabilities that Ada couldn't have imagined back then.
And that all has to do with people.
Yeah.
We have a great resource here.
Further board comments?
I'd just like to say thank you to the staff for yesterday, and thank you, Tom, for coming on board. You're just a wealth of knowledge, especially for new board members like myself. Thank you.
So Sherry had a comment, did you?
I just wanted to remind the board that we have a strategic management planning session with the board on Tuesday, April 16th, the day before the Wednesday, April 17th board meeting.
Is that open to the public? Mm-hmm. Or do we go into executive session?
We're going to executive session. Absolutely.
Yep. I'd like to announce I'll be out of town then, but I can call in. I will be out of town those days. My wife has ALS. She was diagnosed in December, and so we have issues we're taking care of.
Great.
Just for sure, will that be AEA and ADA strategic planning, or just ADA? Okay, thank you.
All right. Well, I'd like to obviously thank all the board members for their participation with the ADA meeting today and their travel. Take the time out of their busy weeks to make a difference, help the state of Alaska. Obviously, I'd like to thank the staff again, as they do. They do an excellent job, admirable, and I don't know where we'd be without them. So again, much appreciated. And for Tom, it's glad to have him on board. And if you get to know, everybody gets to know him, and he gets to know us. Look for positive things to happen. Every day is a new day, and I also want to say I want to give a shout out. It's nice to have a commissioner sitting at the table with us. You know, how many boards do you sit on, Julie?
Too many.
There's a lot.
Yes.
I mean, it's like 30 or 40.
No, I delegate.
Yeah, I know, but
yeah.
But I mean,
yeah.
And for her to spend her time here,
I think it sends a message from the administration how important we are and what we can do to facilitate business in Alaska and opportunity. And for that, Julie, we thank you for taking the time.
Thank you.
We know you're very busy.
And I would like to add that I consider this a vital component of our new industry development and how we're going to turn the corner on economic development in Alaska. So I think what we do here and what the staff does is vitally important. So thank you.
So with that, that comes up to item number 10, a motion for adjournment.
Move for adjournment.
Second.
We are doing. Thank you. And we'll give 10 minutes to get set up for the next one.